It is so good to be here. We got some slides, some pictures to show you. Got the master on the computer back there going to help us out. Oh, dude, that's like in the middle. Where are you at, man? Come on. Back up to the one labeled number one. And this kid's coming down to see us, right, in a couple of weeks. This Isaac, is that right? Okay, all right. We'll get him lined out. Back it up. Back it up. Back it up. Come on. Sean's going to be up here booting me off here soon, so go back to number one. Anyway, it's so good to be here. We love you all, and we're just encouraged when we get to come here and visit with such friends. And you guys keep up with our ministry, which is just so encouraging to us. And you send people down to come see us, which is so encouraging to us. The Kleins are down there, of course, and we've gotten to know them, obviously, a lot better over the last 8 years. We've been down there for 8 years. If you get back to, I think you went the wrong way. Go all the way back to the beginning. All the way back to the beginning. And there's going to be a picture of a bunch of students. A big picture of all the students. And that's later. They're ruining that surprise. Come on. Number one, bro. Nope. You exit PowerPoint and then start over. Okay, when the slide gets up there, you're going to see a class picture of Freedom Christian School, and it's just a herd of children, okay? A lot of children, and it's going to be 300 students, which is the newest class picture that we have, which is outdated, because just a couple months ago, we added 90 more three-year-olds, So we're starting the, not just one, you know, adding 30 per grade every year, and then we went to 60 last year. This year it's 90, okay, and we're still plugging in a few here and there. So our class attendance right now, enrollment, is up to 410. So come August, we will have 410 kiddos show up, and yeah, 90 of them are three-year-olds. They'll get it figured out. And then you'll see, just remind you of where we're at. You know, we're down in the Caribbean, and the Dominican Republic is very small, okay? It is less than half the size of Ohio. It works out great when I'm in Indiana because it is half the size, like the land, you know, size. And so I got to, you know, it's 40%, maybe 40% the size of Ohio. So it's very small, about 10 million people down there. And when we went down there 8 years ago, there was six of us adults. So there was, you know, our three families, but the adults, the full-time mission staff down there, Freedom staff, Tony and I, Kurt and Kate, Jason and Pam Hilgeman. And then, if you go on the website, it is for freedom.com, okay? It is for freedom.com, and you scroll over to our team, and this whole list jumps down of full-time missionaries. And I had to actually change this slide yesterday, because while we're on furlough, we added, there we go. Okay, let's go to the next slide. And go to the next slide. And so even while we're on furlough, we get the notice that another family has applied and been accepted and now started the fundraising. So that's in the Caribbean. Go ahead. The Ohio little reference here is the next slide. Yep, got that. Go to the next one. Is an old picture of us and the crew, 2011, when we headed down there. So no Max and Derek at this point. That comes along later. And then the next slide is the website, where now we're up to 33 Freedom adults. Now, four of those couples are on their way down now. We have two families moved down just a month or so ago. Four more families, eight more adults are slotted to come down. Go to the next slide, and it will start to click away all the peoples. And yeah, you won't know most of them, but you get an idea of just what's going on here. And actually, I'm still missing a couple because, again, some was added even since we've been there. And so there's a bunch of people. And the next slide are the ones you care about the most. So that's us and the Kleins with Max and Derek, you know. So the team has grown with new families coming in, joining us full time. But, of course, we've had a lot of little MKs down there, too, missionary kids. Like Max and Derek, we were born down there. The newest family just came down. They each have two little ones. And one is on the way again in one of those families. And so that kind of thing is happening. Next slide. So 8 years down there. If you remember, Freedom has 25 acres. And we've been developing this campus. And you can go ahead and go to the next slide. A little zoom in on the you know what? I'm sorry. My fault. Back up one before I go back. If you can do that. All right. Look, he's on it now. the bottom left-hand corner where you see it starting to be cleared out there. So that's where the new camp ministry is going. So kind of just have that in mind as we start to talk about camp, because we're gonna talk about that and push that a little bit more in a little bit. So you have the school being developed there. The octagon is almost complete. I mean, it's going to connect into an octagon, 3 stories tall, when we get up to 70-some classrooms and office space and all of that, when the school gets fully grown and able to have 1,800 kids there and everything else that we got going on. So we're heading in that direction. So you see the school is stretching around, almost connected. In the center there is the multi-use building, which has been a huge blessing. And then above that, north of that, white rectangle up there, that was our first shop building, our storage and shop. Beside that, we built another shop. And then above those, we built 2-bedroom apartments. So there's 2 2-bedroom apartments up there that a couple of our single folks stay in. And then off to the left here, you have the 2 buildings that are the apartment buildings. Go ahead and go to the next slide. It just zooms in on the school a little bit, and you get a little bit of a different idea here of how it's been developing. It's wrapping around. We got a lot of stucco, a lot of color going on there, so things are really looking cool. And again, the big multi-use in the middle. So this multi-use is the full kitchen for the school, and it's also the kitchen for all the teams that come down, as we provide not just breakfast, lunch, and dinner for the teams, the guests that we host, but we provide breakfast for the students and lunch for the students now. Some of them are, the younger ones are half-dayers, you know, so they get breakfast or lunch sort of thing. But that's been a huge addition to provide those meals. And again, here's where we do this. And then the multi-use, the bigger part there is, you know, about a basketball court size. So that's our lunchroom and meeting place and things like that. And then the second floor, at the one end, there's a little concrete building. The bottom's a kitchen, and the top level is kind of our rec room. We have a weight room that Kurt has put together up there, and of course, right, a weight room for Kurt up there, and everybody else wants to use a weight room. And then there's a ping pong table and an air hockey table, just some fun stuff up there for the teams to do things with. The next slide is one of my favorites, and I kind of geek out on this stuff and the numbers a little bit. This entire campus, 25 acres, is completely off the grid. So we have 4 separate solar power systems in place right now, including then 3 wells for water. And then we purify all of our own water for the apartment buildings and for the kitchen at the school. And then the little white cylinder up here, upper right hand, that's our deionizer. We actually make our own battery water then. And so we got to keep all the batteries topped off with water and keep them in good shape. And we still have our original, I mean, we're up to, what's it say here? 240 batteries, 350, actually more than that, solar panels, 7 different inverters for our entire power system here. That's completely off the grid, but we got to maintain these batteries. And I'm the maintenance man now, so every Friday I go around and check water level on all the batteries and top those all off. But we actually make our own battery water on campus there. It's just a really neat system, and this is a huge blessing. And I kind of geek out on the numbers a little bit, but what I want you to understand is just how God has provided, even though for us to have this kind of a campus being developed. And so we take it very serious, everything that he's provided in the batteries. Okay, we've about $110,000 in batteries on campus. And every Friday, I spend half a day just maintaining batteries, just checking water. And Titus got to do a bunch of that with me one day and check the water stuff. And wore gloves and safety glasses, Mom. It was okay. So was safe from battery acid and all of that. But I take that very serious, just to maintain it. We still have our first set of batteries that's over 5 years old, and they supposedly only have a 7-year life. But even our first set is as strong as ever. And it does cost a lot to do these sort of things, but we try to be good stewards of that. The next picture is going to show you a little bit more how God's provided. Again, this is a couple of 2-bedroom apartments. These 2 buildings, so these are 8 units each. Okay, and what this actually represents in dollars is $1 million. So both of these apartment buildings, not counting the yellow building and the workshops and the apartments there, each 8-unit apartment building is about $500,000 completed. And I mean that, and again, it's not just the money. And Freedom does nothing from debt. We've never had any debt. Freedom doesn't take out any loans. Won't do that. We build at the speed of money. And so you do see the incredible growth and just everything is going on down there. Well, I mean, God is just piling on the resources. And yes, it costs money to build, but then also the people. And again, if you guys know, you come down on trips, and we'll have almost 1,000 people come through Freedom this year. I mean, the teams are getting bigger. And just the ability to be able to host them, it's just a whole another part of our ministry, I guess, to be able to host those teams. So this is just really cool to me, again, just how God has provided in that. If you go to the next slide, it gets a little more of the teams. And so we have up to 114 beds. I mean, we can take teams of 100 now at a time. And what happens is we have more weeks out of the year with teams than without. Okay. And so we have teams a lot. And this is really what Kate does. Okay. So Kurt, he's still in the school, and you guys will hear from them guys soon. But Katie does a lot with guest services. I mean, guest services, just hosting teams, is a huge part of our ministry, and that's really what Kate does. She sent me these pictures, actually. So when I got down here, I didn't have these pictures. So we have all these shower houses. We have four different type of dorms set up for men and women and bunk beds that we've built and that sort of thing. The next slide will show a little more of the kitchen and our industrial dishwasher there, you know, because we're going through a lot of dishes now with so many kids and so many teams. And we have kind of our laundromat set up there to handle all the linens. And again, the multi-use, because the teams use the multi-use as much or more than the students. Every night, and you guys know who's been down there, every evening we have Bible study. We have the team meetings with the groups that are down there. And so that's our meeting place. The next slide just shows the teams as they get ready. Morning meetings, prayer time. And the top one there is actually from like a campus tour. So if you come on a trip, I mean, you'll get the whole history of freedom, you know, how we ended up down there and on the campus and that whole thing. So you'll get caught up on that. The next slide is a little bit more about teams and what you guys will be doing. I mean, there's always construction going on down there. And then a big blessing with having the teams and the school and all that is our ice maker. So no more freezing water and Tupperware and blocks of ice. And I used to do that, a few years ago. We've had this now for a little while. And just what a blessing just that is. And again, this is a 220 unit. If you want to geek out on the numbers with me, and we have pressure pumps on campus that are 220. We're doing this kind of power stuff on a solar type of a system. It's just very cool, or not, if you don't like that kind of stuff. The next slide shows a little more of the camp ministry, and these are outdated. We got some cabins under roof and all wrapped now in the siding and stuff. And so the camp ministry is one of the neatest things going on down there right now, and the teams are really involved in that. And you guys will get to see pretty much done. I mean, we'll get to wrap things up down there. So why a camp? And so just like when you guys go on a missions trip, and it's just a different experience. You get out of the norm, get out of your daily routine, and you can be impacted in a different way. Just because your thinking has changed, you're in a different environment, that sort of thing, maybe for a week and that kind of period of time. Well, as our students, and now they're going into sixth grade here in August, our highest grade is in the sixth grade. As our students in the school get used to the normal routine of school, and as they do get older, middle school, high school, we want to be able to offer them something else, like a day camp, an overnight, a weekend camp, again, to get them out of the norm. Again, they attend a Christian school, or maybe it's like people in attend church or attend, in a Christian home. But again, if you can just get maybe out of that normal routine, get thinking a little differently and be impacted in a new way. So we want to be able to offer a camp ministry to the students. And also, as these students get to the age of being able to take part in the camp, they will be speaking English. I mean, a lot of them down there speak English already. I mean, the fifth and sixth graders, you can walk up to them and have an English conversation with them, and they speak Spanish and they speak Creole at home. So most of them speak three languages, which is just cool too, right? So then as we have people come down, we have some guest speakers in the camp because they understand English. Or you speak in Spanish, and some Spanish, Phil. So, that works out both ways for you. But so just a very cool opportunity of the camp to be able to offer to the students. And speaking of the students and then the school, so why the school? The Christian school, the bilingual Christian school, we have found is just the best tool to accomplish our goal, which is discipleship, which is to glorify God and to make disciples. And so we have hundreds of kids for thousands of hours that we get to disciple, right? And then because we have all these students, that is the avenue back into all the homes in the villages, and we get to build relationships with the families, with the parents, and get to know them, especially Tony and the teachers and them that are in the villages all the time. So then that just an avenue back into those homes, back into those families, we get to know them. And then, of course, we're always building the school and always building the campus, and so we employ 30 to 40 local guys a day, from the area and the dads of the students from the Bates whenever we can from the villages. And so the construction would be there maybe without the school, but it really is the school is the main focus of just the avenue directly to the kids, directly and then indirectly to the families, to the communities, to the everybody around us there. So again, our main focus there, of course, is to make disciples, and the best tool we have for that is Freedom Christian School. And of course, the other area besides the school and construction and then outreach, we're constantly doing VBS, going back into the villages. We're doing the camp ministries and things like that. And then the other area is our guest services. We have so many people come down, and we get to invest in their lives and challenge them in new ways. And so it really is all working together, and it does have the one goal of building disciples. So we have a little video that we're going to show. Kind of gives you a glimpse into the day of a Freedom student. And then Tony is going to come and share right after the video.
All right. Good morning, everyone. So my name's Tony, and the Lord's allowed me the privilege of being the principal at Freedom Christian School since 2014. So I just want to share with you guys some of the things that have happened since 2012, when the school actually started. We started with less than 25 kids, only pulling them from two sugarcane villages. The sugarcane village is Abate, so only pulling from two of them. And Rosa and Sonia were in that very first class. We would drive out, use a borrowed church building, no electricity, no running water, no desk or anything like that. They were kneeling on benches. And it's neat to see that just this past May, I took this picture of Rosa and Sonia, who are now going into sixth grade. And so from going from 25 kids all the way up to 410 kids is just a testimony to what the Lord can do. He continues to provide opportunities and to open those doors so we can do those types of things. We've also grown. Since the students have grown, you know, the teaching staff has grown as well. Started off with just the missionaries we're teaching. Our very first Dominican teacher who we hired was, yep, she's up there, Mary. So she would go out with us to those sugarcane villages. She's always had a heart. We met her at our church that we attended in town. Always had a heart to reach those less fortunate students. And, you know, she herself is a Dominican, but wanted to reach the poorest of the poor of the Dominicans. And she's out here doing a parent-teacher conference. We go out four times a year, door-to-door, do the parent-teacher conferences, try to explain to them how their student is doing. We believe parents are ultimately responsible for the education of their child. We're training our parents to actually see that biblically, and then we come alongside and partner with them. And so a lot of times, yeah, they parents are illiterate, and they can't sign their own name, but we're still just building those relationships. The picture on your right was taken at our last parent-teacher conferences. We now have over 25 Dominican teachers who we employ, all Christian teachers who are walking in a relationship with the Lord. We went out there. We were doing the parent-teacher conferences. On the next slide. You'll see at the very beginning, school was only 4 hours a day. Once our students hit first grade now, they attend all day, 7.5 hours. We're able to offer things, you know, breakfast and lunch, like Josh mentioned. We have specials. We have art class. They were learning CPR. It's amazing to me that our students now are able to administer CPR if an emergency happens in their village when it takes a long, they're pretty far away from a hospital or medical facility. We have gym class, science, social studies, technology, English, and math. So just a whole lot of classes that we now have the ability to offer. On the next slide, this is a picture. I love laundry anyway, but then just to see the Freedom t-shirts hanging up on a line to dry. In a lot of ways, when you step into a village, not a lot has changed. There's still poverty. There's still not electricity, no running water, those types of things. You can see Milagros over here washing the breakfast dishes. She's going into third grade with us. And we know that it's going to take a generation. We've calculated up 18,000 hours that a student will have with us by the time if they start when they're three and they graduate at 18 with us. And we feel that that person who graduates, those graduates, the Rosas and the Sonias that graduate, they're going to be the ones that are going to go back in and change those villages. And you can sense in Lima, which is our biggest Bate, where we have the majority of our sixth grade students, there's starting to be a difference. These kids are already forming a Christian worldview, just the touch of it. The sixth graders have now been received 9,000 hours of education. They're just over halfway, and they're already, we're just starting to see those seeds go out. And think little things, the respect that they will show to their teachers and stuff like that. So we're starting to see evidences of these villages starting to change for Christ. On the next slide, this is Hane. She is a pre-K 3 teacher. One of the reasons that we started in the Dominican Republic is because it does have one of the worst educational systems in the world, consistently ranking at the bottom in almost every category. And the Ministry of Education and the government's open, is receptive to letting others come in and open a school. And Han, all of our Dominican teachers are licensed for the Dominican Republic, which means they've received the same poor educational system. And so we have a pretty extensive teacher training program that all of our new teachers enter in the very first year, and it lasts the entire year that they spend in training with us. So she comes in, an hour of her day every day is spent in new teacher training. And one of the biggest areas where we are educating them, they receive help in math and Spanish. They are learning English as well, but also in a Christian worldview and developing that. And that plays out in everything. On the next slide, This is something that a teacher has to deal with on a consistent basis, a daily basis, hourly, almost minutely, every minute they are dealing with discipline. And, you know, even in how we discipline our children, there's an opportunity there. You have a worldview when you discipline a children. What is that? Is that a Christian worldview? Are we administering discipline lovingly after Hebrews 12, 5 through 11, going through that passage? Do we discipline our students because we love them? And then do we see the opportunities that it actually provides for relationship building and for intimacy? And are we discipling our students when we discipline them towards the person of Jesus Christ? Or do we disciple them to obey and to listen and to be respectful out of fear of the teacher? Or do we drive them to self-dependence, to perform better just out of their own strength? And so an area that I've seen Hanan grow in a lot is after sending a kid to the corner and he comes back to her. And talking to the child, we've really focused on to use your words to guide that student to Jesus Christ, even at a very young age. And so instead of, you have to obey, or God is angry with you, or you have to listen to your teachers because God wants you to, we actually talk to them about, listen, God loves you when you obey and when you don't obey. Romans 5:8, when we were still sinners, he sent Christ to die for us. And we'll talk to them about, you're going to have a desire to not obey. That's that sin nature, and we point that out. And we say, hey, pray, even though they're not believers yet, but we're modeling that behavior that we want in that Christian, forming that Christian worldview from a very young age, to depend on him to change the desires. A lot of what we see right now in our school is conformity, especially from a very young age, but we're praying for transformation. We know that ultimately these students' lives aren't going to be changed until Jesus Christ enters their life and takes up residence, and that Holy Spirit begins to change them. And that is the mission and the vision of the school. If we go to the next slide, interns are a huge part of what we do down there, and we need more of them, guys, in the school. Actually, last January, had to make some changes to the classes that we offer in English because the Lord only brought two interns in to the school to teach our classes. And so we made some adjustments to handle that, but we still feel like he's raising up more interns. And we want to have our kids be bilingual just because it's another tool for them And so interns do a lot for us. We don't make up work or have to run around and try to find things for them to do. If the Lord would bring us 20, there is plenty of work that interns would be doing. They're real world responsibilities, and they are often given so much responsibility by design. We want them to have a similar missionary life experience. We want them to, because we find that it's invaluable, that the Lord really works in hardships and in when we have to remove ourselves from the equation and can only depend on Him. And so they also receive a lot of Bible training when they're down there. They attend Bible institutes. They're a part of Bible studies on a weekly basis. So just more of that transformation into Christ-likeness can happen. Another big part of our of our school are teams. And so you've seen how they become a part of construction and they help out in that area. I think it's fantastic when teams come down there. He said there are more weeks with team than without. And we would take teams even every week of the school year. Absolutely. They have the gift of the English language. They have the ability to help us provide more one-on-one attention with our students. Our students are starved for attention. They rarely receive much one-on-one special attention. And we have two teachers in a classroom. So with 30 students, you know, one for every 15 teams come into the classroom. It's one-on-one. It's one-on-two. And our students just thrive under that, okay? And so, I encourage everybody to come down and visit. And you'll see on this next slide, this is actually part of their English class. They have English for an hour 15 every day. And a team comes down and I give up 30 minutes of their English center time. And they actually spend it with teams. And so teams come down, they see sixth grade for a half an hour. They see fifth grade for a half an hour. They work with third graders, second graders, first graders, every age group, helping them with their reading, the pronunciation, conversation skills, and it just dramatically has an academic impact as well as a relational impact. And so when teams come in too, things aren't always perfect and stuff like that. Imagine that. This is Carla. She's a rising fifth grader. She was, I was her very first teacher when she was 3 years old out in the villages, so she's been with us her entire life, I feel like. Really bright girl. And she and another little girl, this happened just this past May, fourth grader, they were working with a team. So a team comes in, they're part of their classroom, they've sat down, the lady sat down with them to start reading the book and to start working on pronunciation. And believe it or not, little sweet Carla did not want to work. And she told the team member, she looked at her and she says, "I don't want you here." You know? And when we, and I'm like, this went on for like, it happened, I believe, on a Tuesday. And then it happened again on a Wednesday. And then the other little girl with her, I think, was, they were kind of a team in this. And they would see her, they would pass her at lunch and say, "You go back home." And this gets up to me by the time Thursday morning rolls around. And my initial response is just, "Oh, I can't believe this. How embarrassing. How does this reflect on our school? You know, this is why I never wanted to have teams in here." You know, everything starts spiraling, because I am still growing in my faith. And I know, head knowledge, Lord has everything good for me, trials and tribulations, and that those things can actually be joyful. And immediately I had to do a check. And it's like, "Lord, no, I'm going to walk with you through this. Okay, what do you have in store?" And a lot of times my measure of success is based on what others might think of us or, what I think. And that's a lie to believe that. And so I was able to pull Carla in, meet with her in my office. talked, I have a great discipling moment where her heart broke for the other person as we were sitting there talking about using our words and how they can be sword thrusts, or they can be healing like a honeycomb, or we can use them to tear up or build down. We're talking through Ephesians, we're talking through Proverbs, and this little gal has the Bible verses memorized. You know, she has that foundation. And to see her do a 180 in her thinking, and I asked her, what do you think we should do? And she told me, we need to go apologize, you know. And thankfully, this happened on a Thursday. Went and found the team member, you know, brought her. We had a sweet moment where Carla was able to communicate in her English, a little broken, how she was sorry and that she realizes the effects of those words. And so it was just an absolutely beautiful moment, you know, and caused by a seemingly unfortunate circumstance. And God's doing all kinds of things like that down there. Yes, there's lots of growth. There's lots of exciting things. There are also lots of failures, lots of trials, lots of tribulations. But we know those are cleverly, we call them cleverly disguised opportunities to walk with Him and to have Him transform us more into the image of His Son. And that's the entire reason that the school exists. So I think that's a story that kind of shows that. So that's all I have.
Slide, I think is just some smiling faces not being disciplined right then, perhaps. So just to wrap some things up, one other thing that does go on, go to the next slide here. You know, Kenzie and Ellie, they're back stateside. They attend Liberty down south, and Gabe is still with us for a couple more years. Gabe's involved in worship down there and also in chapel. Every Friday afternoon is chapel service in the school. And so the kids really like that. Go to the next slide. Again, just the website, itisforfreedom.com. And I know you guys are already planning a trip. And so you can go there and check out the Take a Trip and all of the information there about taking a trip. And then the next slide actually shows a couple of our newest guys, Chris and Dan. And Chris is doing all of our some electrical stuff or finally putting up the PA system around the school and campus. We don't have to yell as much. And then Dan is our diesel mechanic. So we've been praying for a diesel mechanic for years and years, and he is a CAT certified diesel mechanic. And so the next thing we got on the agenda also is building a bus barn and a big garage for our fleet of buses. We have 6 school buses down there now, and that's only going to grow. So just a couple of areas again where God has provided. And actually, the next slide, I think, is just our family there. And just, you know, my role is the maintenance, as I said. I've kind of transitioned to that. Tony's role is still the principal of the school, and she's loving that. And then just told you what our girls and what Gabe is doing. So thank you guys so much for having us back, and thank you for being such a big part of our lives and the ministry down there, just staying so involved over the years. And, again, we've been down there for 8 years. You guys have been on board with us for more than that. Right, you were on board with us from before the beginning of Freedom on the Ground, and so it does just mean a lot to us that you guys have been here for us in that way. And it's always good to be back with you guys. I'll turn things back over to Sean. Thanks for having us, and we look forward to taking communion with you all. That's an extra added blessing.